Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I got a lot of fuel, bro, built up. So when this fuel turn to smoke, hope you in shape. Hope you ready to go the distance. Because I'm telling you, I'm ready to go 36 rounds like a heavyweight, you heard?
36 rounds. Antonio Brown, he's ready to go 36 rounds. How are we looking? Bill Michaels Show, we are on the air. 36 rounds. I didn't know heavyweight champs and fights go that deep, but okay.
I think I done everything.
Done everything.
What y'all think?
I think,
what left for me to do?
Nope.
Win the Super Bowl?
So quit.
Hey, got to be the right team for that.
Got to be the right team, only if you got guaranteed money. So if you got guaranteed money, a lot of money, and you're going to guarantee him, and you're going to take his crazy, and first thing I would do is put him on a ground-level apartment floor somewhere in Green Bay, if you do get him, so he can't chuck all his belongings off of it and hurt anybody. This way, he's just throwing crap out the window. But maybe it's a cell phone, because if somebody calls him with a lot of money, he's ready to go. But it's got to be guaranteed and the right circumstance, and he's ready to go 36 rounds. I'd rather you just go four quarters, 16 games, and into the postseason. But if he wants to fight 36 rounds, go for it. To talk more about it, let's call Paul, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
If your team got guaranteed money, they want to get to know me and work with me, tell them call me.
Okay. Well, so call me. We call Paul Immig, our green and gold analyst. Paul, how you doing?
Hey, Bill, man, doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. I know you'd like to see that guy come to Green Bay. The dude's a nut.
Yes. I don't think that's disputed, is it?
Tell him call me.
No. No, he's a nut. I don't know. I don't know that he's ever going to be happy unless it's just him and a quarterback and an offensive line and he's getting everything thrown to him.
Yeah. I know that I sent you some tweets the other day from Field Yates, ESPN,
yes,
football analyst. He is a big believer that Antonio Brown to the Packers is the right fit, both because the Packers have the books financially to make it work, because of the fit with Rodgers, because of the fact that his opinion is that he will respect Rodgers and that he will work well with Devontae Adams. There is a seemingly, Bill, I know you are definitely firmly not in the go get Antonio Brown camp, but it seems like there's a growing number of people who are thinking that this is a fit that could make sense. And I think the challenge here is that we only have 1 year of evidence of Brian Gutekunst to go off of. If this was Ted Thompson, we wouldn't even waste 10 seconds because we would just say, yep, not happening. I don't know how Brian Gutekunst will look at this. Now, if he is just, and again, we can reference the interview you did with the radio guy in Pittsburgh. And, I mean, that was about as revealing of information from a mostly negative perspective as you could get. But you are talking about arguably the best receiver in the league, and what level of crazy are you willing to deal with to make sure that he's, that he's still worth it? So I think you know this. I think I've made it pretty clear that I want to say that I am pro Antonio Brown to Green Bay, but more so, Bill, what I'm pro is the idea that the Packers need to do something big. They need to do something drastic. They can't just go through the draft, add some mid-tier free agents, and think that they're going to turn things around. To give you another, sports parallel, maybe example, do I think that the Padres giving $300 million to Manny Machado makes all the sense in the world for a team that's not ready to compete yet? No, but you're a team that hasn't been to the playoffs, to the Padres. I thought they haven't had a winning record in 11 years. So it's like what you've been doing isn't working. So why not give Manny Machado $300 million? Nothing else you've done in the past decade has worked. So I look at the Packers and I say, you're coming off 2 years of not making the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers only has 5 years left. He needs to turn his career around after an injury season in 2017, followed by obviously a not great performance by Rodgers standards in 2018. So I don't know if it's Antonio Brown, Bill. I don't know if it's some other big swing for the fence move. I think my main point is you got to do something big because they have to turn things around. And I don't think having a normal, quote unquote, normal offseason is the answer.
Here's my question. He didn't want to work alongside Juju Smith-Schuster, Schuster-Smith. He got jealous. He was the guy that was taking a double team. Schuster-Smith ended up having a successful season because of it. What in the world makes me think that he's going to want to work alongside Geronimo Allison, Davante Adams, and some of the up-and-comers, and he's going to have to share any kind of a spotlight? Because he would take the double team, and Davante Adams would then be wide open one-on-one, who has become fast and furious Aaron Rodgers' favorite target. You would see the Davante Adams show as opposed to Antonio Brown just being a double team target. And what in the I don't know. I just can't see it. I agree with you. If you want to talk about bringing in the most talented wide receiver that's on the market, hell yes. But the dude is a bag of nuts. I just can't do it. I couldn't pull the trigger on that mess.
Yeah, I mean, so I would answer the first question in relation to Davante Adams by saying, I wonder if it would make a difference that Davante is already established, whereas Juju Smith-Schuster came in as a draft pick who's like, what, 8 years, 9 years, six, 7 years, much younger than Antonio Brown, whereas, you know, you would be coming into a situation in Green Bay where Davante Adams is established, he's a Pro Bowler, you know, he is Aaron Rodgers' favorite target, he's establishing or has established himself as a top 10 NFL wide receiver, maybe even top five, and I think that part would come with it. And again, I think what you're looking at here in some of these, you know, video comments that you're playing from Antonio Brown is maybe what he was most upset, and I'm totally speculating, but maybe what Antonio Brown was most perturbed with as it relates to Juju Smith-Schuster is the fact that clearly Antonio Brown wants more new guaranteed money. So any target that didn't go to him didn't make his stats good and would probably hinder his ability to get the guaranteed new contract money that he's looking for. Whereas if he, let's just say hypothetically, he does get a trade to Green Bay, does restructure and renegotiate the contract, now he's paid, right? Now he has that money. So he maybe, you know, theoretically, I'm playing one side of the equation here. Mm-hmm. Maybe then he doesn't worry as much about it because he got the money. You know, he got the new contract. So, you know, and again, I mean, you would think, Antonio Brown was a rookie the year that it was Packers-Steelers in the Super Bowl 9 years ago, right? 8 years mm-hmm. ago?
Right.
He was a rookie on that Steelers team. So he hasn't been back. Has he been back? Have the Steelers been back? I should really look at my Pittsburgh Steelers 8 years track record before I say that. But have they been back? No.
Back to the Super Bowl? No.
Not since now, right?
No.
That's his only appearance?
Right.
Yeah, a lot of Patriots. One Baltimore in there, whatever. But anyway, needless to say, I think, you know, you just wonder if winning and having Davante Adams and Rodgers and if they could make it work. Again, you would be taking a big risk. Any team that doesn't would be taking a big risk. But if he does end up going to like an Arizona or a San Francisco, teams that he single-handedly can't turn around, then I think you're looking at a bad situation because you'd be paying him all the money and you'd still be probably a losing team because I don't think the Niners or Cardinals, two teams who are also really high up that list, on his, I don't know if it's his wish list or if it's just some of the odds rankings, but that would be, I would think that wouldn't work because you'd be a 5-11 team, you know, with a very vocal wide receiver. So again, Bill, I don't know. I mean, I certainly get your perspective on it. I just think the Packers are multiple moves away from being a team that's a legitimate, you know, serious, serious Super Bowl threat. And sometimes that requires some big swings, and sometimes big swings result in bad strikeouts. So I think it's a conundrum that Brian Gutekunst, I think, finds himself in going into the combine and going into free agency.
Is there a swing and a miss, or no, I shouldn't put it that way. Let me ask you this. Is there as big a fish out there on the defensive side that you would go after?
There doesn't appear to be. It doesn't seem like DeMarcus Lawrence is leaving Dallas, even
right.
if they have to tag him. The answer to that question was sitting there in early September with Khalil Mack. You missed, you know. The Packers reportedly were very interested. They had offers on the table, but they weren't willing to go to the level that Chicago was. Now, you could argue and say that Oakland had a miscalculation because they thought the Bears would be worse than the Packers. Therefore, they thought that the Bears' draft picks would be better draft picks than Green Bay. Oakland, shockingly, with John Gruden, who I am not a fan of, was wrong, and you know, Khalil Mack completely swung that difference. So there is not a Khalil Mack this offseason that's available. Now, again, who knows what happens when training camp comes around. Khalil Mack wasn't, like, at this time a year ago, it's not like Chicago and Oakland and everyone else was talking about a possible Khalil Mack trade. That didn't happen until August, September. So, you know, things can come up later, but I just don't know if there's that home run, franchise-changing, defense-changing player that's out there. So, you know, then you have to draft him. And fortunately for the Packers, you do have the number 12 overall pick to do that. But you expect a rookie to come in, even a high draft pick, and be an all-pro as a rookie? I mean, good luck with that.
Going back to the question about defense, if I'm going to swing, and again, if you believe you've got enough horses on your offensive side of the football, there's a couple of guys out there you could probably take some chances on. Earl Thomas, to me, I know he went down with the injury. He's a very knowledgeable, rangy guy. He's more of a center fielder, kind of a Rod Woodson type of player. That would be a guy I'd take a shot at. There's Landon Collins, the safety out of New York. I'd take a shot at him. The guy that nobody's talking about is Grady Jarrett. He's a defensive tackle, an interior lineman from Atlanta. I'd love to see them go after him. Now, he's not going to be Aaron Donald or Fletcher Cox, but he's that type of player that he could then solidify your trenches, and he would be a great counter to Mike Daniels and Kenny Clark. So, and then you put Mo Wilkerson into that rotation. Now you got something up front. Then, like ripples on a pond, everything begins to get better. If I'm going to spend some bigger money, I may be able to go in one of those areas. Now, again, if DeMarcus Lawrence comes out of Dallas and they're not going to franchise tag him, then that's the guy. That's the guy to go after.
Yeah.
But I would take his chance on Earl Thomas just to see if he's got anything left in the tank. Because if he does, he's your signal caller. He's your badass. He's your attitude. That's the guy in the back in the secondary that I'd go after.
Yeah, I would too, Bill. I think Earl Thomas is a good fit. Now, but he is not going to cost you coming off the injury. I think he's either 29 or 30 years old. You know, he's not, you know, kind of like how Richard Sherman, as a free agent last offseason, you know, didn't get paid like the 2016 version of Richard Sherman would have. He got paid, you know, a nice contract from San Francisco, but nothing earth-shattering. So you can go, you can get an Earl Thomas, but that's not going to, you know, destroy your cap. You know, Earl Thomas is maybe, I don't know, I haven't really looked at his market, but he's probably, especially coming off the injury, going to get $7, $8 million a year for a couple years, maybe a two, three-year, $7, $8 million per year type of contract. So nothing that would, like, destroy your books and make you throw every other idea out the window. So, I mean, you can go get Earl Thomas and still be financially viable in the free agent marketplace. So, I think my response to what you said would be Earl Thomas and question mark.
Right.
You know, like, and who else? Because, you know, you can get three Earl Thomases for the price of one Khalil Mack, financially speaking. So, yeah, it's there's again, kind of like how 2 years ago when Nick Perry got his monstrous overpaid contract, he got that contract from Green Bay because, sadly, he was the best free agent edge rusher on the market. And even when you're an average player, but you're the best in the market on a given offseason, you get paid more than you probably should.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of where you see some of this go, is that Nick Perry wasn't going to turn – like, let's say Nick Perry had left 2 years ago. Wherever he went, he wasn't going to turn around to defense, right? Like, this is kind of the question here. As short of DeMarcus Lawrence, there's not that – and I like Earl Thomas, and I think he'd be a good addition, but I don't know if – I really don't believe, you know, he's like your Khalil Mack style addition. He's not going to take you from average to like top five. You know, he's not that player anymore, especially coming off the injury. But yeah, they have to address multiple things here, Bill. And I think when you get a chance to acquire a superstar in football, there's not that many of them. Khalil Mack, they missed, and I think that really hurt them. And I wonder now to see what the next several months play out like with Antonio Brown's market and maybe even Odell Beckham Jr.'s market, who's also apparently on a trade block.
Always good, Paul. We'll chat again later, okay?
All right, Bill. See
Appreciate it, pal. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold insider, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.